Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. This is the moment journalists around the world have been waiting for. Introducing first, in the red corner, he is a judge, weighing in the broken dreams of a Tron player, Nixia Valudel Terratron. And in the blue corner, a mixed magic artist, weighing in nothing but hot air and illusions of grandeur, Igor, Reanimator Mishra Havlat!
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. We are back to the Elder Dragon Drill podcast. Currently, we're being Nixialess, but we're going to keep on moving even without him. This is Igor, and who's with me?
It's Peter from Nixith That Goes to Town. Da-da-da!
Still inactive, as usual.
Good things come to those who wait.
You keep on saying that for the last couple of I don't know how much. Basically, I'm just peer pressuring you into doing something.
It's a favorite phrase of mine. I like to work on things and make them really good. So then when I post them, it's like, hey, oh my god, this is great. Lots.
Yeah, I recently posted the page from your blog onto our Facebook page.
Yes, I noticed you did that. Thanks for that. I totally forgot I even made it. And that's how the blog started. I'm like, oh, look, this looks familiar. Oh, I made it. Aha.
Yeah, I was like, okay, we're having Peter on again. I should put something as a teaser. Oh, look, it's actually appropriate to beach and everything.
That's actually my favorite page from the whole, because there was that whole comic started off with from some tournament I completely failed at, which running next is in my deck, kind of blog kind of spawn. And then when I was doing the comic, I made like a different comic strip for each particular game, and that game there was the one against Mo. And I was, I thought that obviously I made for that particular, that was my favorite. So I'm glad you picked
it. I mean, it's appropriate, it's funny.
And the poor Nixon. Yeah, like watching a couple of Merfolk having a slap fight. That's my favorite.
I never liked playing against Merfolk.
Did anyone?
I mean, either you stomp them or they just take over the game with a couple of small dudes.
Yeah, such a pain. Such a pain.
But the
at least it's good. I got my vindication by giving two fights. Except now no one plays Merfolk.
The thing about Merfolk, I most hated the Rigiri. He was the biggest of all assholes.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, he's one of the slap for right. You can also
tap and tap. Anywho, as usual, we have our commander of the week. What is your commander of the week, if any? Knowing you,
Geisa and Geralt.
Oh.
Geisa and Geralt, hands down. I've been for a long time. I really hated. I thought that they were like they're just one of those really overdone tropes. Like I've never watched any dags, and then I never did this because I just got sick and sick of zombies everywhere. And then somewhere I turned. That somewhere was Khan Tarkir, which had Sidisi flavored, as I felt. Like zombies, they had the whole gothic horror trope. They were different in Tarkir. They wore jewelry. They were undead servants that positioned them furniture rather than going to mindless war. And I kind of started liking zombies around then. It's only as I've been reading the Innistrad lore, which I actually decided I really liked. I didn't like the original Innistrad. I didn't like any of the other Innistrad sets very much, but Shadows of Innistrad turned me. And I fell in love with Geisa and Geralt. Actually, I kind of liked them quite a lot before, based on the lore and stories that were told around them, such as the McKay's The Unhallowed Preview article. That made me like Geisa and Geralt. I loved them as cards, and finally they got together as one card, and I fell in love. And that's what I've been playing quite happily ever since release.
That's sweet. I actually like Geralt from his commander card. It's not a really good card, but it's a really fun card.
Yeah, I would agree. It's hilariously. I think Geisa, on the other hand, is actually very good. Like,
oh, she's stupid.
It just does a stupid. But basically, I built a zombie token deck based entirely around Geisa and Geralt. It does everything that my Sidisi deck, but it just does it a lot better with audience. Because I just wanted zombie tokens, something that spits out a stupid, dumb amount of zombies, and Geisa and Geralt.
Yeah, Sidisi takes a bit more time to actually start running.
Sidisi, it's true. She does take a bit more time, but it's also, I found she's very vulnerable because the whole deck relies on her. It's her, you know, creature to graveyard mill trigger that creates the zombies.
Yeah.
If you don't have her on the field, your deck sucks. Like, just totally blows goats. And then when it does actually start getting round and rolling, because she only spawns like one zombie per trigger, you're only really producing one or two a turn. Whereas if you build your deck, the deck I now have based around Geist and Geralt. Sure, I don't get to play Doubling Season and Parallel Lives and all those other fancy-schmancy green cards. The fact that I can have things like Dark Salvation, happily cast Army of the Damned with enough mana, lots of those little funky token generators that start spitting out songs. Cryptbreaker is great, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he's the best buddy with that.
Necromancer Stockpile is all amazing. I always thought that was a bit of a derpy card, but in this deck, even Zombie Infestation is great. I can suddenly have this gigantic amount of, like, you know, 10, 12 grow up quickly out of nowhere. Plus, zombies have a stupid amount of lords, almost as much as merfolk, I dare say.
Yep.
And it's a pretty funky deck.
Guess who we're going to have in a second on?
Trump.
Nick Shea decided to show up. No, not Trump. We're not building a wall there.
I want to make America great again.
Well, no. I mean, America is sending... America is sending vehicles to Jupiter and Mars. I think it's pretty good.
Oh, maybe Trump will, if we're lucky.
Actually, I like Trump more than I like Hillary.
You know, I wanted Bernie. And oh, I don't likewise. Really care who wins now. I don't really care who wins now. Hillary is probably going to win, and she's probably the better candidate. But if Trump wins, it'll be funny in the whole kind of Joker, some men want phase.
You know what would be really historical about Hillary's reign? She would be the first robot slash lizard being to be president. Because we all know she's not human.
That'd be really funny if she has an affair in the office as well.
Yeah, I think she's actually doing the whole candidacy just to get even with Bill.
Yeah. Marital stress runs wrong in that family.
The problem is she's going to have much more trouble seducing her intern than Bill did.
Yeah, I would agree. Because, I think I'd do it before I did.
I mean, Bill actually has charisma.
That's right.
Unlike, you know, old Chillery.
Where's Nixha gone?
Nixha will be here in 10 minutes. He has to go to the shop.
All right.
So
what's your commander of the week?
Usually I would say Alesha because that's what I play mostly. But I'm going to go with Calamity.
Yeah. Nice. What's if you jump on Calamity?
Oh, I'm not actually jumping. My girlfriend is. But.
Cool.
There was a guy who was selling newest commander decks for really cheap, but the Golgari deck wasn't one of those, because of course.
Of course.
But we were going through the deck lists, I was like, okay, do you want one of these? She was like, oh, I want this, because she likes tribal team. And she was like, yes, yep. Giants. I was like, oh, she doesn't like spell slinging, she's already seen my Azuri deck. She was like, but that's okay, but that's not her thing. And the Orzhov of deck was like, she's not into enchantments. So obviously she decided to go with Calamity. And she was like, but how will I ramp if I don't have green? That's her biggest issue.
I think that's everyone's biggest issue, really.
If you're playing Orzhov, yes, that's one of your biggest issues. Also card draw, what's that?
Yeah. I think Calamity is actually, I think she's actually really strong. One of my friends plays Calamity pretty much straight out of the box, like he's barely changed the deck at all. Mm-hmm. But it stomps really, really hard. I think she's, like when I first saw her as like the first general spoiled, how every time she gains an experience counter, she gets +1. And I'm just like, that's dumb. What a stupid bring card. But the fact she has double strike and a permanent effect is very, very scary. It's just a bit hard to build around because part of her wants tribal giants, you know, that, which is pretty cool. It's a themed commander for tribal giants, really. But the other part of her wants to be vault. So it's a bit like, how do you actually do it together? Not that I really ever want to see the two come together. So personally, I hate Colors because I spent so much time on the other side of the table from her. But other than that, she's also props. I think she's one of those underused generals that are that should probably get a little bit more love than she deserves.
I mean, I honestly mean that...
Yes, I should say. A little bit more love than she gets. Not she's
I honestly think that she actually should be just built straight up Ultron. She doesn't even need experience counters.
I know she doesn't. That's the scary part. Because it's not often... Because she has double strike. You don't normally get generals with double... How many generals can you actually name with double strike?
Rafik?
Like, straight up Rafik?
But he has to walk alone.
Ataraka gets it. Ataraka, but she ramped him. I can't think of who else. There's a couple others, like some, you know, some red Kamigawa who has double strike. But on that, Calamity has double strike, and she's easily just playable.
And so she's in the best colors to actually be an equipment team.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. I still like her as a tribal. You can actually, her in tribal, she's kind of cute.
Yeah, you never see that.
She's Yeah, she's scary as
fuck. Yeah, you just put Loxodon and Warhammer on her and go to town.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Nothing's going to survive that. So, now that we're done with it, we actually have a couple of things that popped out in the last couple of days. We have new from the lore product.
Yes, for the list today.
So, what's the new content of the new from the lore, from the vault lore?
All right, well, we have Beseech the Queen, we have Cabal Rich with new art, we have Conflux, Dark Depths and a Marriage Large Token.
Yes.
Glissa the Traitor, and it looks like it's new art, like slightly tweaked, but I can't really tell because of the website. What I'm looking at here on the actual announcement, it looks like Glissa's body is now a shade of green. Whether that's just the way that
they're the foiling,
showing off these foils here on the website, it might not be. It looks like there's been a subtle color change on her, as well as Helva, which is the next card. Then we get Memnarch, an alt art Mind's Desire, alt art Mommy of Vig, near-death experience, but why not?
This isn't old art Mommy Vig.
Sorry?
This isn't old art, this is new.
No, it's alt art.
Old.
No, alt art. Obliterate.
Okay,
Obliterate,
I gotta say, Obliterate has the best flavor text ever.
I'm still going with Lurgoyf.
No, but this is just the whole effect and the flavor text is just perfect.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm still voting Lurgoyf. Nothing beats the flavor text.
Anywho, last thing you said was Jitte.
Yes, an Unmask. Last card is, which is cute. I think Unmask is a nice flavor touch.
Yeah, it's just like the Near Death Experience. It's flavorful, but not really good.
Oh, I don't know. I've seen some lists that play Unmask, like a while ago, back when Reanimator used to be Tog in Legacy. I used to just run a huge package of discard spells, including Unmask, and it's I stand by Unmask as being a solid.
I don't know. I would rather play, actual good discard cards like.
It is a good discard because it's brilliant.
I would rather pay one mana exiling a black card.
But here, you can pay one mana and exile a black card. Thoughtseize twice.
Anywho, it's obvious which cards are the money cards in this set. The Jitte and the. Yes, the
Jitte. Yeah.
I was thinking more of Dark Depths, but whatever.
It's alright. I'm sure you'll be able to trade a few.
No, but they finally reprinted the bloody token for Merit Lodge.
Yes, definitely.
Which was actually much harder to find than the actual Dark Depths itself.
Do you believe I traded away my playset of Dark Depths and my token, and it was like the best trade I ever made? I traded away playset of Dark Depths and the Merit Lodge to collectors in Bioshock.
Worth it?
Yes, I got a lot more fun out of Bioshock 2 than I got out of those. Financially, these days, $10. But fuck, I played that game at least 3 times all the way through, and I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, Bioshock, a good set of games.
Brilliant. So, I no longer have my Dark Deck, my Merit Large.
But would you actually play him?
I used to have a Merit Large deck, because we all had, my playgroup and I, we had buckets, so we picked them out of the dollar bin at the store.
Yeah, it used to be a really crappy rare.
Yeah, we used to pull out Dark Depths, and I had a black-green kind of thing that paired it with Aether Snap. So it was just bring out Dark Depths, bring out Aether, here we go. And then it had a whole token theme on it. It had power cons to transfer counters off Dark Depths onto Spike Feeder or Spike Weed. It was just a cute kind of black. Well, then, of course, Vampire Hexmage got printed and Dark Depths went out of the dollar bin onto the $60 list.
Yep.
But I was around before that. And when it was climbing $1 each, that was when I traded them on collectors.
So anything else that's fun on this list?
I would say Memnarch.
Yep.
But that depends on your definition. If you're definitely controlling Memnarch, then yes, he's excellent. If you're otherwise, if he's on the other side of the table, no.
Oh, what's the worst he can do? He's 7 mana.
Yeah, 7 mana just rips away your best points. Yep.
Yep. Takes everything.
Memnarch is.
Yeah, he's a bastard.
Yeah, Phyrexian Pro played with it.
Yeah, it's a really good thing.
Yeah, I actually don't really like this. Phyrexian Pro is the same as what the head one.
Phyrexian
versus the Coalition. Yeah. It's the same artwork there, and I don't really like it. I way prefer the altered, the side by side. It almost looked like, one of the reflection cards, Wound Reflection or Mana Reflection, but it was just way cool.
Also, there is Talaria Vest for people who are playing the Amulet Bloom combo 08.
Yep.
We'll see.
Or want to quickly fetch a Pact of Negation in EDH.
Yeah. I mean, you can get a lot of lands with this.
Yeah, for that matter, Dark Depths, Mirror Pool, any kind of funky land, actually, Tolaria West. Cabal I should Fortress? Probably get more Tolaria Wests. Yeah, actually, yeah, good plan. I've just thought of this. I'm going to get Tolaria West and fit in every blue deck I have. Let's go.
And, of course, our favorite equipment planeswalker ever.
Your favorite.
No.
I hate this card.
I'm being really sarcastic because it does good. Too much for too little of a price.
Were you playing when Betrayers came out?
Not actively. I was playing casually.
They used to have these little pre-con decks.
Like, I know.
Rat one, that rat deck.
So yeah, for people who don't know what was happening, basically we had a starter deck, and one of them had a GTA. Guess one which was actually sold the most, and which others were just, you know, staying on the shelf. How do you even put this in a starter deck?
The same way you like complete.
I mean, like,
sometimes I really wonder how much playtest. Like, I mean, I know what it's like working in a games company. I know what it's like when you have like things that come up at the very arse end of schedule. But for something that really has such an extensive testing and extensive place, the Magic's been around for 20 years now. You kind of know how bits and pieces work. When some of these little things creep through, like Jitte or Mental Misstep. And they just completely shake everything up. I kind of sometimes scratching my head going, oh, did that happen?
Okay, Mental Misstep, I actually understand, because they don't actually care that much for Eternal Formats.
Yeah, true. But okay, change the Mind Sculpt to plus 2. They even admitted to plus 2. They kind of slapped the plus 2 ability on going, oh, well, it's okay. Yeah, it's just normal plus 2. No, it puts away entire games.
Yep.
Get on the upside, plus 2 out, and then use the game.
Yay.
Sometimes they just do these things, and I do how things on the radar. I can't fault these people too much because schedules and game design are beasts and demons like, at best.
I have one more word for you.
Yeah.
Skull Clamp.
Oh, there we go. Now that's a perfect example. That's the example I was Lol Clamp
trying to. How did it happen?
GTA, I think.
Yes, much more.
I've read the design thing, Clamp, where it's like, what kind of flavor if it gave minus instead because it's getting shoved up the back of it? What will that do?
With elves in the format.
Skullclamp is house banned.
All the decks played it in standard when the Skullclamp was legal. Tooth and Nail decks used to play it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's simply that good.
Yep. Yep, it definitely is.
Yeah, now I'm getting stressed. Now I'm getting really thinking of that.
Let's move away from the clamps. Move away from the broken equipment.
So we'll move to something much less broken, which are the dual decks.
I know. That's not.
Yeah, yeah. Or Razor Boomerang. That's also not broken. That is broken, but in a complete.
Razor Boomerang. I.
For a huge price, you equip it on a creature, then you tap it to do one damage to creature or player, then it comes back to your hand. And you have to play it and equip it again.
Yep, Strider Harness. Let's discuss the Strider Harness.
Doesn't it at least give haste?
Yup.
That's
so. Let's hop us on haste. This is what you need, right?
Ah, well. But dual decks, Nissa versus Obnixilis. Yay!
Yay!
Do you actually care as an EDH player? I guess you kind of do.
To a huge extent.
I mean, those two planeswalkers are good, and they have pretty bitching alternate art.
I will agree with that, hands down. I mean, my opinion of Nyxilis, like, there is the commander of Nyxilis and the others.
Yeah.
But it's okay. Raymond Sland, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they gave us a war in the way of alternate art, because, I mean, we've got Doomblade and Ambition Tossed, then Wood Elves, Protation. I think they're all fantastic. But if they gave us a couple more, I think it would be even better.
Yeah, but what are some better cards from these decks? Desecration Demon, let's...
Desecration Demon's alright. What I stand for is Pestilence. Pestilence Demon. Have you ever played against a Pestilence Demon?
I have played against both Pestilence and Pestilence Demons.
I think Pestilence Demon is underrated fatty commander.
Yep.
It's a bit like, oh yeah, it looks kind of nasty. You don't have any idea what dickhole that thing is on the other side of the table. The card is insane.
You just give him lifelink.
Even more insane with the lifelink. Him and a Battleskull, the best toughness, who can back with, like, 9 activations a turn.
God.
Yeah. There you go. That's all you need.
That's stupid.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I used to have Warhammer on.
Mm-hmm.
Pestilence Demon is a step above.
I mean, Pestilence was one of the stupidest commons at Urza Saga. Now it just made us into two demons.
It was one of the stupidest things ever. But the thing is, you can't really get more than 5 activation if you risk killing the demon.
Yeah.
But beyond that, pestilence demons.
I mean, for 5 mana, you're guaranteed to kill most of the things.
Hello? Yeah, hey.
Hey. Yeah. But I was saying, you don't actually need more than 5 activations per turn of pestilence demon.
Pretty much. I've played him in quite a few decks in time, and he's gone and wiped everybody up. If he's not dealt with immediately, I win the game. I stand by Pestilence Demon as being one.
Look out! Here they come!
Nasty, nasty cards that you can play. And anything with a decent amount of black.
I heard something nasty.
And we have Nyxia.
Hey, Nyxia.
Hey there.
So, Nyxia, we already went through the From the Vault lore, and now we're on the dual decks, but do you have anything to say about From the Vault lore?
Yeah, I find it a bit lackluster,
mm-hmm.
because I expected...
Oh, but besiege the queen, come on!
Near-death experience!
Yay!
I mean, there is a couple of cool ones, but I think that they could have gotten something better than Cabal Ritual, near-death experience, show the story of those sets.
I think Cabal Ritual does not really show the story of that set. That's why it's cool that it's got alternate art, but I don't really think it's got anything to do. If they wanted to show something called Odyssey Onslaught block, Mirari's Wake would have been 50
yep.
times better. Cabal Ritual's just there to appease legacy.
Yeah, but with Mind's Desire, they kind of covered Mirari.
Yeah. You know what?
Yeah, they covered it again with, okay.
You know what's the fun? You know what's the fun thing about that From the Vault? You know what's its approximate value?
I checked yesterday, it was around €1, I think.
Yeah, $156 American.
Yeah, wait, but that's before it got to the stores, so...
No, this is just cards, non-foil versions before this.
Yeah.
It's going to sink down a bit, but you know, you'll still be getting a bit of bang for your buck.
Well, it's mostly because of the GT and depth.
Yep, and the token.
And?
The token.
Oh.
The token is like $20.
Really? The
yeah.
token's $20 now.
Yeah, because it was
wow.
limited supply.
Yeah, it's
wow.
it's a pre-release only card.
Yeah.
Like the zombie token we got here, Eldritch.
But the thing is, not a lot of people actually went in such high numbers to Cold Snap pre-release.
I wonder why.
Hey, I love that set. That set was great.
No, set is flavorfully awesome. Mechanically, it's a ripple.
Probably. A ripple. I like. Ripple was, alright, you got Ripple and you had Stomping Slabs and Thrumming Stone. I was like, why is this legendary? But I love Cold Snap, dammit. I started playing when Ice Age was around. So Cold Snap was just like, it was living the dream all over again for me. Nostalgia everywhere.
Yeah, as I said, flavorfully, it's a beautiful set. Now,
yeah,
it wasn't actually executed most perfectly.
Well, I started playing really around perfect. Cold Snap.
Yeah.
And I remember my first deck that I constructed by myself were the Aurochs.
Oh my god.
Nice.
But what I also want to mention about the From the Vault is that I was reading that article, the story explained behind each card.
Yep.
And the way they told the story of Cabal Ritual, it's a possibility we will be, you know, encountering Cabal Ritualist's story soon. Because it's like an updated flavor text to emphasize that they're still here.
The last time we saw, like, that's all taken from Dominaria. The last time we all saw Dominaria was Time Spiral. I think they've kind of avoided going there because whoever took up the writing for the storyline of the lock made such a mess out of Time Spiral. Nobody really knows who to go back there. Like, Dominaria was always, like, the set where basic sets were set. But if you notice, ever since Time Spiral, basic sets have since to Chandelure. I think we'll be seeing Chandelure before we go back to Dominaria, to be honest, because... There's some poor editor who's going to his hair trying to sort Dominaria out before we take a set back there.
I mean,
as cool as it would be to go back, I don't know what that place is going
to be. The guy just has to drink enough of hard liquor and he'll be good to make the set, in my mind.
I think Time Spiral was made drinking hard liquor in the first place, so I don't know if any more sorted out.
I mean, that's how you fix mistakes. You fight fire with fire and all that.
Yes, and then an editor takes his life. But I don't want to be that editor. Well, I feel for the guy who does.
Oh, well. So, Nyxia, dual decks. What do you think of them?
I went over them, and I don't really like it. Because I don't know, it just doesn't, it's not, it's, again, it's not flashy, it's not really, doesn't really have any really cool cards except Crop Protect.
And Abundance. Abundance is...
I think the old arts are cool, but I mean, Ambitions Cost, Crop Rotation, they're the two best ones from the old arts. The two other cool cards, we already talked about Pestilence Demon before we came here. Oh, well, there's three cool cards. You got Mulch in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
The third one, I think, is Thicket Elemental. Thicket Element, great. The trouble is, for you know, Commander play, if you're looking at picking these decks up for these flashy cards, the flashy cards that aren't of an art, you can get quite easily for a dollar. So
yeah, they're cheap.
Yeah, it's just really the old art planeswalks are selling more thing. I'm sure the way these decks look that they'll actually play quite well against you, because I don't know if you guys ever picked up a dual deck pack and literally just played with the decks against each other at dismantling. They usually play out quite fun, to be honest.
Yeah, like they're balanced.
They were pretty cool. But, I mean, you know, I'm not going to keep anything that I buy like that together. I mean, I bought Knights and Dragons so I could get my hands on all the juicy dragons and everything.
Dragons.
But I don't think I'll be playing these. I don't think I'll be playing any deck too much as it is. Everything will be cool. Yeah, you can pick up for it. It's an old art mode release.
I remember Elspeth versus Tezzeret. That was a old deck.
Yeah, you got a lot of value cards.
At all rarities, there was Swords to Plowshares and a lot of artifact cards. I mean, it was a really cool one.
Yeah.
And pretty valuable. I also played that one against each other, just from the box.
Yeah, I was there as well. I remember. That was a long time ago.
Yep.
Oh, the blood deck has Innocent Blood. That's cool.
Oh, well, I suppose that's one more card for that deck. But still, you know, one Innocent Blood. That was a common in Conspiracy.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure you'll be able to pick that up.
And it's a common Eternal.
Okay, yeah, but that doesn't say much because it's Eternal Masters.
People still opened a lot of Eternal Masters.
And, I mean, you also get the Priest of Blood, right? Right?
That card's really good in Marchesa.
And in Alesha, if you play that kind of deck.
Yeah, Alesha. It's a suicide black card for EDH. Great.
Unless you just kill it after you get the demon.
True, but then you can... Well, then you can bring it back. You're playing Alesha, I'm playing Marchesa. Yeah. The guy comes back. It's great.
Oh, you know, it's cute that they put Renegade Demon in this deck.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want any really powerful demons. Glad they gave us Renegade.
You mean Massive Ghouls?
Yeah, Massive. I'm glad they made it. Whew, Christ. Renegade Demon.
Yeah, for your Demon Tribal, if you really need the vanilla.
That's right. Nothing like a vanilla demon that loses a fight to a...
Yeah. Even Alesha can kill the demon, like, really easily.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Nyx, now that we have you here, did you have a Commander of the Week?
Not Proshta. I don't know. I was out of town for the week, so I didn't...
Yeah, the poor chap had to go to the beach and all that. Oh.
Oh, that's terrible. Sorry to hear.
I don't like going to the beach. Shut up.
Neither do I.
Really? You don't like the beach? You guys being serious? Wow.
Look, Peter, Nyx and I are both basement dwellers for a reason.
Well, so am I, but every once in a while I enjoy the beach.
Peter, my girlfriend is asking me, would you like to go to the beach with her instead of me? Because I'm a little bitch who's actually hating the sea.
Sure, let's go. Yeah. Enjoy the basement, Eagle. We're at the beach.
Yeah, he'll go. I'll be in the basement. Yay, basement. Woo! Bloody
your sick. Beaches must... Well, I suppose your beaches must be Australia. Great beaches.
Oh, we have really good beaches here as well. It's not sandy beaches, but you know.
Yeah, I've been to the beaches in Italy, so...
Screw Italy. Italy sucks.
Literally, don't
yeah, but comparing to Croatia, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they kind of are similar, but Croatia's better because... Yeah, that's that is the
well,
point.
Well, cleaner, yeah, I don't doubt it. I didn't really enjoy swimming.
No, in Croatia's beaches are actually really, really, really clean. The sea is really clean as well. Good. Although, there was this one time when I was working on one island... And just 6:30 in the morning, you see a cow carcass just floating along. I was like, okay, this isn't my problem. I'll just keep on doing my stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
A cow died somewhere and fell from a cliff and just was floating there for days.
I gotta get back to
that. Peter lives in Australia. Yeah, that's a bad pit. I don't want to go. No. My girlfriend claims that she doesn't want to see cow carcasses. She wants to go to Australia, which is much safer, you know? With all the living things trying to kill you.
Yeah, all our spiders and our snakes and our sharks. Yeah.
And welcome. Kangaroos.
Yeah, my sister has them in her backyard. She doesn't live in Sydney. She lives slightly out of Sydney, but there's kangaroos.
And they still haven't tried to kill her?
Well, they haven't succeeded.
And that's the thing. They're taking their time.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Did you see their claws on their foreheads? Like, goddamn.
Yeah, I know those. Every once in a while, you get some story about some dumb kid who goes up next to one of them and then gets his belly cut by a kangaroo.
Gee, wonder why.
Yeah, I know.
Those things might not be the smartest, but they're...
Yeah, it's like in civilized areas. I'd say both.
I mean, kangaroos are known to lure the animals that are hunting them to rivers and then just drowning them, keeping their heads under the water for too long.
Yeah. What?
It's like, yes. Yes. That's why the beach in Australia is dangerous. You might get drowned by... You get cattle corpses floating by, we get you.
Wow. Europe seems much better by each second.
It's all right. I've made it this far in Australia. I think I'll lose yet.
I would be more more realistic and say, I'll live until the end of the week at least.
Yep, that's it. One day at a time, guys. One day at a time.
I'm just wondering, why did people actually settle Australia ever?
It was a penal colony.
No, I mean before. Why did the people go from all the way from Asia to Australia 40,000 years ago?
Oh, right. Beats me. But the British sent their prisoners here, so,
I mean, that makes sense. That makes sense. If there was any place I would send prisoners, that would be Australia.
Great.
Because, guys, come on, everything's trying to kill the prisoners. Even if you're not...
Yeah, but then they grow hardy and they toughen up and they form an entire civilization, and now we're here.
I mean, if you survive the whole Australia thing, then I think you get a pass on your sentence.
Thank you.
You're proud to be Australian.
Damn straight.
I mean, it must be better than Croatia, even with all those things trying to kill you and all that.
Yeah, no bird.
Yeah, I mean, you have good economy, but then again, spider.
Yep.
That eat birds, my girlfriend says. They eat birds.
So big! Fucking, I almost died killing this
spider. I wouldn't worry about those spiders. I would more worry about those spiders that like to dwell in...
Every once in a while when I get paranoid, but I've never actually had a spider in my shoe, but I've had it in the... It's like the huntsman spider. It's like, it's about as big as your hand, right? It doesn't be harmless, to be honest. It doesn't... So if I catch a... If I find a huntsman in the house, I just catch it right outside. I don't worry about it. But if it's in your car, it's actually responsible for more deaths than any other spider. Wow. Because you're driving along, suddenly a big spider just jumps in your steering wheel, and you're like, oh shit, and you drive into another car. If there's like cars that run off the road for no reason, or totally unexplained accidents, it's probably just a huntsman that lay no...
I mean, I've heard
it's a fucking shock when you're driving along and this huntsman jumps up onto you and it's like, holy fuck, that spider's as big as my hand, and you drive off the park. You know, it's happened to me.
I mean, I've heard that spiders in Australia are so big they have health bars.
Some of them do take a couple hits to go down. You need a tank, you need a sniper, and then a healer.
Damn, you Australians are actually organized when it comes to killing spiders.
That's right. I'm the tank.
Are you though? How many hits can you actually take?
Sorry?
How many hits can you actually take?
Oh, it depends on the spider. Some spiders are higher level than me, so I avoid.
You should just grind and level up, and that's it.
I would rather avoid the spider.
Oh, that's a...
All right, you come here, buddy. You come here, Faceley.
No, I'm a coward, and I admit it. So
I think we've drifted quite a long way off track.
I mean, I don't see a problem with that, but yeah, any more magic things we need to talk about? Like,
did we even have a track?
We were on a track before you came along.
Okay.
I want to ask you, actually, next show. Igor told me that you were disappointed in the Shadows Over Innistrad art book.
Well, not the art book, the story.
Oh, the story, not the art book itself.
I mean, the art book spoiled the story, so I knew what happened, so that's the part that's disappointed.
I see.
I mean, I don't mind it being spoiled, I just mind it not being good.
I actually didn't mind the story, Strahd. I actually kind of liked it. I mean, I've been an H.P. Lovecraft fan for some time, and it's probably the closest magic's ever going to get to any Lovecraftian. But I did not like the art book because I felt it focused so much on the Shadows of Innistrad story and completely neglected other things. Like this whole, you know, this whole characters and things like that, that kind of just never really get explained. For instance, Gaisa and Geralt only pop in like little bits and pieces here and there. Ludovic is mentioned once, and it's like in a side passage. There's no talk at all about like Tovelar or like a list of the, you know, list of the old Howl packs and things like that. Whole bits and pieces of the story and the world of Innistrad get glossed over to tell specific story of Shadows of Innistrad. So there's nothing relating to the previous two sets, like the Zendikar book talked about. It just talks about mostly the next ones, and some of the artwork shows to play could have changed around better. It's just glorifying Shadows of Innistrad without investing in full backstory, which is exactly what I thought it would be about to happen.
Yeah, that sounds equally as bad.
Yeah, and there's like a whole big bunch of section of the Planeswalkers of the Gatewatch. I'm like, I'm enough of these things. No, get rid of them. They're not meant to be here. Go away. Tell us about werewolves, not these clowns again.
Yeah, but these clowns are kind of the thing that's going to be going on for quite a while because they
want
to.
Yeah, no, but no need to feature them. We get it. Clowns exist, okay, but there's other animals.
Also, I think that Peter had a problem with our, let's call him, favorite werewolf legendary creature.
He's not what I want from a legendary werewolf. If you have a legendary werewolf, I wanted him to be a werewolf, but I wanted him to actually either at least buff werewolf or control when you transform them. So, you know, have some sort of power, you know, activate ability, form target werewolf control, let him kill werewolves as you wish. But he doesn't have that. He's just he's a wolfier Silverheart that occasionally fights things.
Ooh!
That are not werewolves.
Yeah, they're not werewolves. I don't care if he fights not. I wanted him to make werewolves an active tribe that fit together and did cool things. He's just a dumb meat sack.
I mean, he's a fighter.
Yeah. Really like it. No, they could have done better.
Nick, what are you going to say?
He's also what? He's an alpha, but he never gets to fight a werewolf. So how does he?
He just writes about it.
Ulrich, social.
Oh my god! I want that altered right now.
I think I've got a weekend project.
Hey, actually, you do. That will be my new desktop if you make that.
Yeah, let's.
You really have to do it. Actually, do it at least for our Facebook page. At least that.
Yeah, that's great.
How would actually that deck look?
Oh, I don't know.
But you kind of have to put white in it because you hold the justice card. Deputy of Justice!
Need to reduce the text and the text body character.
Oh. And also you have to make all creatures non-white, I guess?
Oh, beats me. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, but there's...
We'll put Ulrich on face.
I'm just... let's say triggered. To use their language, yeah. To use their language.
But I'm not a fan of him. I'm like, he could have done so much more with the legendary wolf, and they did nothing. I think they really blew that one.
Yeah, he's the best and the worst the werewolf legendary ever.
Well, that narrows it down.
Just by default.
Yeah, just behind this.
But just as much as they disappointed us with him, they surprised us with an unexpected spider legend.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, she's so much stronger than looks.
And she interacts with spiders, which is like the point of those kinds of school, those kinds of commander.
Yeah, well, I don't really know how good a spider deck will be because she's ripped but spiders in. So I don't know how good she will be, but as a standard card or is insane.
Do you think that has a modern application?
I don't see why it would, to be honest. It's like a one-off Jund deck. Anything kind of mid-range, you can play it. I mean, Jund easily activates. She costs 5 mana, which is like the uppermost threshold that Jund can accomplish. And once you drop her, dominates the board straight away. It's like, you know, she's not Hornet Queen, but too far away.
Hornet Queen.
Hornet Queen's a...
Yeah, that's such a silly card.
Hornet Queen's disgusting. I used to play it in Legacy. Like, I had a Legacy mono-green natural order deck. And Hornet Queen just raped. And then people are like, why are you playing Hornet Queen? And then they're playing Show and Tell. They drop Emrakul. You drop Hornet Queen. The Emrakul player kind of just sits there for about 10 minutes going, it's great. It's hilarious. And then she got printed in standard.
Turns out Whip Wearables is really good with Hornet Queen.
Yeah, Hornet Queen is amazing. Insane creep. But I do not think Ishkana.
I would really like to test both Ishkana and Permeating Mess. in, like, a green deck, something like a Tron. But unfortunately, I won't be able to do that for some time.
Because?
Because what me and my friend did, he made an auction. He was getting rid of some cards, so he made, like, an auction. And he made a little twist. So he put stretch goals. So there was the base lot, and if you got above a certain price, you would get some extra item. And whoever wins the auction gets all of the stretch goals that he passed. And the final stretch goal was that I promised only a competitive deck that contains blue for the rest of the league.
Ooh.
And once he added that later, and when he added it, suddenly all the stretch goals were complete. Oh, man.
He really got you good.
I didn't think he was... that was more like a joke, but...
Turns out people want to see you suffer.
Well, now I guess I'm going to play Merfolk.
Oh, no.
No, just to learn how to play the deck, actually.
Oh, we were talking about Merfolk just at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
So that's a nice loop.
Yes.
How good are actual Merfolk in Modern?
Really.
Are they?
Yes.
Well...
I mean, we have our main Merfolk player actually pretty good at Merfolk. Actually the best I've seen in playing Merfolk. And yeah, Merfolk are a really, really good deck.
Hmm. Haven't seen Merfolk played in Modern basically ever?
I mean, they say that... he said that they had a tournament. They had, like, their own little tournament. And that it fares really good against the Jeskai deck.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Dead Nahiri Abomination.
Yep. And mostly just against a lot of mid-range decks. Merfolk, actually...
Niksha, what happened last time you said you had a deck that's good against mid?
I kind of optimized too much against aggro and all went to hell.
Yep.
But that's not going to happen.
So you claim?
You know, I'm going to play Merfolk for just a month.
Yeah,
four,
just that.
4 months. And in the meantime, I could start plotting.
Scheming?
Some kind of way to put in some permeating masses in a Tron deck.
Yeah, Niksha...
Because I think they're actually really...
Niksha fell in love with the permeating mass.
I don't know if it would fit.
Well, it wouldn't fit in your normal, average, good Tron, but I tried it. It's definitely a fit.
I mean, Niksha played Nest Invaders. This is the last iteration of Tron, so...
Nest Invaders, I rate Nest Invaders. The card is underrated.
I agree completely. It gives two bodies, it's a bear, and it accelerates practically a rampant growth.
Yeah, Nest Invaders. I love... I still play that guy in a Commander deck. It's called Great.
Yeah, I used to play both him and Nest Invader while Cloud Post was a thing.
Yes! I still have one of the decks that I have not dismantled. My casual deck.
Let's call it casual.
It's meant to be casual. It's not very fun to play against, but yeah, it's casual. Let's just say that. But yeah, I had like... I had what calls like predators in there, just as kind of like the on curve ramp chump. He does so many good things. Because the trouble with playing any kind of post deck or on decks, you know, you're gonna get you need to get into the late game, and you need something to get in the way of people and bash you hard. And Nest Invader, Predator.
Yeah, there are two bodies to block. Yeah, really cool.
Emrakul's Hatcher. She gives three bodies. She's even better. But she requires one extra mana to play, so the fact she costs five is a bit out of reach. But I play her in red EDH decks I have that don't get green, stuff like Cedrus. I play her in Cedrus. It's pretty.
I remember just when Niksha used to take his Eldrazi deck and play Emperor with us. He was the Emperor. He would just give away the Eldrazi. It was stupid.
Nice.
I also remember the time when Cloudpost was Eagle, and I did the Eldrazi with the Cloud Post, and a couple of my friends borrowed the deck to play with their other friends in their casual playgroup, and it all pretty much ended the way that they banned the person playing that deck. it's like nobody's allowed to play Cloud Post anywhere anymore.
That's a good decision.
It is quite strong, I will say that.
It's alright.
I usually won to keep that deck casual, I mean, I wasn't going Emrakul straight away. I was either playing Gelatinous Genesis for like Scene or something stupid, or I was playing Spawn Sire of Ulp.
Okay, that's cool.
And then I'd have a sideboard of like every an uncalled Drazi that I picked up during drafts and just dump them all on the table all at once. Really.
Okay, that's cool.
Something
that's
like 1,000 power creatures and Annihilator 400.
It's super effective.
It is. I've been playing Emblem there because you know, you get an extra just win. But I just thought, just to be fair, I'll play it. Which does make me think of Kokshan Blind Eternity. What do you guys think of that card, Commander?
It tutors the new Emrakul, so it's good.
Yeah, it's like, but it has to take them out of the sideboard.
Right,
and I'm kind of running. Do you guys run like sideboard commander decks? Because I was always under the assumption that you were allowed to play with a small sideboard as well. So it was just like a natural fit. It helped streamline one of my better decks. And now I haven't played many games with just an absolute powerhouse. It means I got to run Kozilek from the main deck. So, you know, Oath of Liliana and Utility and another counterspell. And whatever I need, whatever Fat Eldrazi I need, or All is Dust, because it's Dust, come out of the sideboard. And it makes the deck so much stronger. So I'm kind of wondering if it's going to get banned out of my playgroup.
I mean, my playgroup, nobody actually discussed those sideboards at all. So I have no idea.
Yeah, we don't play with sideboards.
Yeah. We don't still, until I start it now. I'm like, all right, well, I'm playing with a sideboard here, Cap. So I'm kind of wondering where you guys feel on the side.
I personally don't care if a person wants to play with a sideboard. I don't really mind that. But then again, I'm a person who's like, yeah, I'm banned most of the things from the ban list.
Yeah.
Oh, you're an evil person.
I mean, I'm going with the Dota approach. If everybody is overpowered, everything is evil. I don't like playing Dota. I just like that approach.
Yep.
Unixion?
What? About the sideboard or Dota?
Sideboard.
Well, I don't care. People want to play with sideboard, fine.
Yeah, Nixia is one of the people who actually want to play with Nephilim as their commander, and people don't want him to do so.
Well, what I'm really hoping for is that with the how they're creating the standard decks,
yeah.
I'm really hoping that they're just going to reprint the Nephilim here with legendary names.
That would be beautiful.
So rather than Inktreda Nephilim, it's like Bob the Inktreader.
Ooh, Bob.
Or Thomas the Glint Eye, or whatever you want to call it.
Choo-choo.
Yes, like that. I'm really just hoping they print that as well. Yeah, they should be legendary.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, I would love to see that. Just functionally identical, they just happen to have new names, because they can't update them. Said that they can't update them.
Yeah, but the thing is,
the thing is,
copy the ability, and just make them.
Oh, yeah, in the first is, Ravnica?
Come on, well, Nixia, go.
In the first Ravnica, Mara wanted them to be legendary, but they didn't make them legendary because they're not really legend, because they come from a plane that has a bunch of them, so that's...
Yeah.
But Mara is still saying that he really regrets not putting them at legend, so I'm...
Yeah, I've heard him say that too.
I'm 100% sure that they're going to make a cycle of legendary Nephilim.
I hope that they're, identical. That can be like the reprint. I do hope that, because that'll make it interesting for players. Well,
I don't think they'll do that, but that would be nice.
I'm hoping that they do.
I mean, even if they don't do that, I think they'll be one of the creatures in the deck.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. For sure it'll be in the deck. It's just like, will they make them exactly as the actual card from Ravnica? That's the big question.
So Nisha, what do you think, they'll print them like that or just
Oh, I think they're going to go all out with the Nephilim. They're going to make them even weirder than Eldrazi, and they'll be just really strange to play with and against. That's why.
That'll be cool.
I hope so, because that'll be pretty cool. Some of the Eldrazi weirdness is pretty cool. Some of it was just like, what the fuck are you doing, guys?
Yeah, but the Nephilim are just like, what the... And Nephilim are even weirder than Eldrazi. Sorry, I'm stuttering.
Yeah.
It's all the Eldrazi fever. That's what
it's No, it's me being awake since 3 a.m. That's the thing.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, well, I slept through most of the day yesterday. It was bound to happen. And I was working since 5, so...
3 p.m. today.
Oh,
I know, it was great. I had a nice long sleep.
Oh, you poor man.
I know.
You had to relax and all that.
Yeah, working 6 hours a month.
What?
Yeah, I only work 6 hours a
week. 6 hours a week, I want to do that.
Yeah, I know. 6 hours a week and it pays for...
Color me jealous right now.
I don't blame you.
Because I work 8 hours, 6 days a week.
Yuck.
But 6 hours a week, he does that and gets all the bills paid. What the... There is no justice in the world.
Yeah, bad guys get deviled.
Yeah, well, that's proof of being what, teacher on the college or something.
Yeah, I teach game design.
Yeah.
Uni lecturer. It's great.
Poor man
teaches games.
Yeah, poor man teaches game design and gets all.
Just, well, you know, that would be the same here if our teachers were at all.
At all, yeah.
Your teachers were paid at all.
I mean, being a teacher in Croatia is more of a work of love, not of, you know, getting paid. Yeah, we're still second world countries. That's how it goes. Yes, yes, laugh at our misfortune. Come on. For...
Just hoping your teacher get a bit more of a hard job.
Yeah, I think...
Yeah, damn straight.
So I think that we wandered long enough. Anybody have any last thoughts or anything?
Well, just that, why did he have to ruin Soren? He was such a good character.
I disagree. So much... I think Soren boring as fuck.
He was boring. He became boring once this whole Tarkir thing started. They haven't done anything.
Interesting. Soren's been boring otherwise all the way along. I do not like Soren.
Soren was supposed to be the guy that gets things done. He's the problem, and he does, and either kills the source of the problem, or kills the problem.
Either or. I'm just like, I'm not really fazed by Soren Nahir. I think the Nahir has come back as a bad guy. It's just like, oh, okay.
And yeah, and the Shadows over Innistrad, yeah, he took action against Avacyn. But then he was pretty passive on Nahiri until he met her in hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not a fan of either of those planeswalkers either, so I can happily ignore that.
I like
Lily. I think Lily. And Chandra.
I hope that Liliana betrays the whole...
Yeah, that'd be
fun. That's kind of a thing she would do.
Yeah, she'll do that, definitely.
She has to.
I think she has some element in her. I don't think that they're going to... I think she's just like the... She's not a villain, she's an anti-hero.
So yeah, but if there is a chance of her, you know, defeating one of those demons by betraying the whole team, she'll do it.
I don't think she'll betray the whole team. I think she'll wrap them up in her own little scheme and get them... I don't think she's one to betray. I think she use her allies to best accomplish her own goals.
Oh, she wants to use Jace, we all know that.
Lucky Jace. No.
I mean, she's a real great, great, great gilf.
Yep, it's pretty good looking for someone 100.
Well, necromantic magics do that.
Sweet, sign me up.
Also, the ending to the story. I mean, yeah, I'm also a fan of Lovecraftian style monster themes, but I think they could have made a better job in this part of Shadows of Innistrad, because it started out really good. It started out really strong with the whole madness coming back and things getting corrupt little by little, people starting to become more and more paranoid, and, you know, the whole evil within. But then it all ended in a clash of hordes and hordes. That's not what I really want. That was in Zendikar. Why repeat Zendikar?
I actually rather liked it the way they did it. With the whole creatures that morph into other creatures, with all transformation, she's actually... I felt it actually gave a sense of the world being corrupt.
Oh, that's
I mean,
cool.
Like, case
well,
in
yeah,
point,
that's the
best
good part.
Like, yeah, it's like, sure, yes, there's hordes and things like that. I felt that kind of a little bit inevitable, the fact that there's, you know, hordes of Eldrazi. But I liked the way they did it. I thought it was all in all a pretty good set with a pretty good execute. It had a lot of character. I struggle to think of a way I would have done Lovecraftian or better.
The thing is, the ending of the story with the whole, well, Imrakul was actually controlling them from the start. It would be better if there were, like, hints of it during the story. Like this, it just feels like a last-minute effort, I don't know, give a sequel.
It's not a last-minute effort. I know that the plan, it's just the hints were very subtle throughout Shadows of Innistrad. I mean, everybody kind of guessed Emrakul was there for a
yep.
There was a... There were, was the one called the Trail of Clues. You know, there was that secret message in the clues that hinted to Ugin's insight that people eventually discovered. Then you know, other little things like you had the like grotesque mutation, the card in Shadows of Innistrad. That one's pretty blatant. Then you had little things hidden in the art, like Sage of the Natinal or something. He's growing that flesh lattice that's common to Emrakul's thing. One of the horses in the game, like Stallion of Ashmouth, has got five legs. If you look closely at the artwork of Incorrigible Youths, you'll see one of them has three eyes. There's little bits of those things sprinkled in amongst the artwork of Shadows of Innistrad, but I think it is a little bit too subtle. You can clearly tell it's Emrakul, by the way, that, you know, the fact that it's Nahiri pointing these giant cryptoliths towards the Drown Yard and blah, 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 blah. It was pretty easy to guess it was in the first place. But beyond that, the other clues that they gave there were pretty subtle. I didn't really want it to be Emrakul until I found out it was, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is all right, and it kind of fits. How she's described as like the Titan of Corruption, you know, transforming creatures, nightmare versions of themselves. I thought it was all kind of all right. I liked it, and you know, I have no reservation as to how could that was done fine. I like this. I like it a lot more than I like the.
Do you have any thoughts?
No, I think I spoke all my thoughts earlier. Peter, anything else you want to say?
No, I think that's covered everything.
Well, you can follow Peter on his blog, post it down, whatever the address
is.
One day, and it'll be beautiful. You can always follow us on our Facebook page. I'm kind of active on Twitter, except when I'm not. And that's about it. This has been episode 16. This is Igor.
And this was Nixa.
This is Peter.
And as always, the Emperor protects.
Like Kakon.
We passed up on the stair. We spoke of was and when. Although I wasn't there, he said I was his friend, which came as some surprise. I spoke into his eyes, I thought.